This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
High Fivers, it's your boy, High Five Tom, and I've got Derry, New Hampshire's own, the Oakerland nominated podcast co-host, Will. How are you today, my friend?
Tom, issues with the CFM machines, I'm a little tired, and as you can see, I'm wearing the viewers can't see, because they're not viewing anything, but I got a sweatshirt on. It's a little chilly up here. Before I hopped on, I had to run around and close all the windows. So it was 10 degrees cooler than what the heat was set to. So,
oh, wow.
It's definitely starting to feel, it's feeling like November. It snapped right into that like a fucking Slim Jim.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it was just 80, and now it's like in the 50s. And it's like, I like the weather in the 50s, but it's like, it's just such a shock because it was just so damn hot, and you're like, why are you, like, you know, wiping the sweat from your brow? And now it's like, oh, it froze to my arm. Like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, I took my walk pretty late last night, but it was still pretty nice out. And listen, I got my walk around the block this morning. It's not bad, but yeah, it's in the 50s. So, I mean, I think it's supposed to stay pretty steady. Actually, today there's only supposed to be like a 4-degree temperature change. Like, the high is 54 and the low is 50 or something like that.
For those interested in local weather, today, we're predicting a high of 46.
Oh, wow.
And at night, it's going to be 24 degrees, but it's going to feel like 37.
Wow.
Because it's been, it's a lot of times it wouldn't be so bad, but it's been so fucking breezy up here.
Yeah.
Like, hold on to your hat. Like,
yeah, actually, I was wrong. So today is supposed to be a high of 49 and a low of 47, so.
Damn, that high and the low. Boy,
yeah, not much difference there. So it's definitely the opposite of my weekly plug of Stanley, Idaho, which has already got, you know, 6 inches of snow out there already, so.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, I'm not going to have time off because of, you know, great circumstances, but 50s and Sunday is going to dip up into the 60s, I guess.
Oh, wow.
61, but it's going to crash down to a low of 38.
Yeah, we're, yes.
Burr.
It's nice. It's a good thing my wife works for an outdoor outfitter, so I have nice warm clothes, so.
I do, too. I just don't drag my feet about wearing them. Like, I've got the one winter coat I've had since I was in, you know, like, high school or whatever.
Yeah.
I still just wear that. I got plenty of hoodies. I'm actually making more of an effort to like cycle through my hoodies and not just wearing like the same one over and over again.
Yeah.
So I've got my Bull Moose one on right now. It's fine for in here, but it's a little chillier outside. So probably I dug out my Terminal Nation hoodie. So I'll probably be wearing that one when I'm out and about.
Yeah, I'm just rocking my old school Adidas sweatshirt today, so.
You know what they say about Adidas?
All they had, you're going to vote Flair.
Yeah.
That's not how it goes. I remember the first time I heard, well, I wasn't Slayer the first time I heard it. I'm like, wow, that's kind of genius.
See, I didn't realize that there was an actual song that said that. I thought it was just people being like, you know, like Marilyn Manson taking out his own ribs, suck his own dick, that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It was a time. We were a bunch of heathens in our youth, Tom.
Yeah. It's crazy that that rumor just percolated throughout the nation. So I was like, wow, I just thought that was some fucking redneck
shit. And now it's almost like a meme. Everybody's like, oh, the goth kids growing up nowadays will never know what it was like to sit around gossiping about how Marilyn Manson removed his ribs, sucked his own dick.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, he's a very problematic person, but I do like a lot of the songs. Like, yeah. I wouldn't say, I don't know deep cuts. Like, obviously, I don't like the greatest hits kind of stuff. But it's like, The Beautiful People is always going to be, it might even be in the top five. Might be a top five song for me of all time.
Wow.
Just because of that nostalgia. Like, when I think about when I love pro wrestling, I think about The Beautiful People.
Yeah.
Because I was a SmackDown kid.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So you have the opening package, cuts to the giant fist, all like the pyro coming out of it.
Yeah, I remember this.
Then Raw had that Union Underground song. I don't know if the Union Underground ever really did anything else, but they did the Monday Night Raw theme song. So, I mean, they had that.
Was it their big hit?
I think it was the only hit.
Deadman song?
What's that?
I think it's Mr. Deadman or something like that. I got it. Actually, I have that album. Let's see here. Yeah,
Marilyn. That's right. You thought you were getting a Ring of Honor conference, but really, we're talking about Ruthless Aggression era WWE.
I mean, at least it's still wrestling kind of related.
The American nu metal band based out of San Antonio, Texas. Yes, they did have they released one major label album, An Education in Rebellion, in 2000, which featured the hit single Turn Me On, Mr. Deadman.
Yes.
Which I do not know. At least I don't think I know. You know, I could put it on later and be like, oh, I know this song.
Well, that's not the song that wasn't the song that was on Raw?
I don't think so. But yeah. Apparently, Marilyn Manson heard the song in a strip club and handpicked the Union Underground to be his tour mates when they went on tour in fall 2000.
That's a fun strip club song. The song is a banger.
I'm going to pull this up right now quietly so we don't get, you know, copyright stricken.
I'm not worried about it.
After we get through this ad for a fucking White Claw or whatever, it's like, you can have fun flavored water without the alcohol. So yeah, it's called flavored water.
That's not really coming across, Don.
No, it's not this song. Across the Nation. It's the Union Underground song that was used on Raw.
Oh. I didn't know they had a second song.
Well, they had a whole album, Tom. Is it on that album?
Yeah, this is the only song I got in my iTunes, but I know I have a hard copy of the album. Well, real quick here before we jump into Ring of Honor Reverie.
You know, everybody's going to stop hating on nu metal, right? Marilyn Manson slaps. Rob Zombie, slap. Power Man 5000 used to slap.
And not to be this guy, I mean, Mr. Like, oh, I only like the fucking demos guy, but that first Marilyn Manson record is a fucking banger. There's really not a bad
song. You're talking about like the very first one, right? Where it's like Marilyn Manson, the Spooky Kids or whatever.
And well, Portrait of American Family is first full length.
Portrait of American Family.
But yes, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, if I told my Marilyn Manson story on here.
Did he remove ribs to suck your dick?
No. he threw me out of his concert one time.
Marilyn Manson threw you out of a concert? Tom, how did you get thrown out of a Marilyn Manson concert?
Because I guess he didn't like stage diving. That was not a thing that he enjoyed.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. The first time I saw him was at actually opening up for Nine Inch Nails, and I hadn't really heard about him. And then we saw him a couple months later at a small little club called Chink Hall, which is a landmark, Will, because it's featured in the movie. Oh, my God. Why am I spacing out a fucking movie? The Turn It Up to 11 movie. Oh, my God. The spoofy movie. Oh, my God. This is really fucking.
See, spoofy movie?
Yeah, the fucking.
Scary movie.
No, spoofed, yeah.
Was it Scary Movie?
No. The one about the rock, the Turn It Up to 11.
Spinal Tap.
Thank you. But yeah, that venue is mentioned in Spinal. It wasn't, they didn't actually play the actual venue, but yeah, it's a landmark, but it's a small little club. And yeah, I got up on the stage and he pointed me out and had me thrown out. It was like the second last song, which kind of sucked because I had to run away from home to go to that concert. But, and then he ghosted everybody after the show and just went on his little tour bus. But yeah, that's on film somewhere.
So Across the Nation is not on the album.
Oh, really? So it's like a.
So the album came out in July 18th, 2000. The song came out in March 2002. And it was used specifically for Raw until October 2006.
Oh, wow.
And then the song blew up. They put out a live album in summer of 2002, and then they broke up.
Yeah, even the video is just all.
And all the, 2016 to present, Reformation, upcoming second studio album. So they're working on a new album, Tom. They were just touring on last year.
Oh. Well, I mean, that shit's all making a comeback, you know.
Back to the 2000s tour with Soil, Raw, and Flaw. Huh. Raw is just RA. Not. Oh, Do You Call My Name? Banger.
All right, well, we should probably jump into our questions of dishonor. So, yeah, whatever. so Brendan can Brendan can hop off here real quick.
Listen, Brendan's a busy guy.
It's true. He got my question into beef on Monday, so that's appreciated. So,
I admittedly need to listen to the interview again because when I was listening to the episode, I kind of dozed off during the. I didn't even realize that the guy had like jumped in and joined because it just like he just kind of fit in so much that it's like, oh, I didn't really think about it. Oh, there's shit. There's another person there.
That's pretty fun.
Where's the beef?
Where's the current AAW world champion, by the way, which I'm surprised he didn't mention.
AAW champion.
Yeah, he is facing
Cha-ching.
Oh, he's facing Josh Alexander in a couple weeks. 9 days. Yeah. Former Ring of Honor alumni and personal favorite of us here in the Ring of Honor Revelry. But let me pull up Brendan's question so I can actually contribute to this podcast here real quick.
Brendan's question this week was, who do you want to win Survival of the Fittest and who should win?
And very topical from Brendan.
And he's saying should win is who benefits the most right now from winning Survival of the Fittest.
Spoiler alert, neither of these people will have a chance to, ironically enough. And I was a little shocked at the one, not really the other, but. For Brendan, who he wants to win, he wants Argy Evans to win so he can just add all the wins to his undefeated streak. That'd be five. I mean, if he wins Survival of the Fittest, that's five wins, right?
Yeah. Does it count if somebody else pins the other people, or does he have to be the one pinning them?
No, I think if he wins, he gets it's another. I mean, in my Argy Evans, which like we've talked about, they've definitely kind of strayed away from, which is kind of disappointing, but. And for who would gain the most from his ACH, he's so close it feels like the next step, and this could put him over the top.
The thing is, too, like I haven't looked ahead. I'm assuming ACH doesn't win. But, right, like it really feels like we're on that precipice there. Like we just saw, you know, the interaction between ACH and Jay Briscoe at Champions versus All-Stars. He's been featured prominently. I mean, I'm honestly kind of surprised they didn't pull the trigger on him beating Jay Lethal. Not like my world is devastated surprised, but I'm a little surprised they didn't like capitalize on that, the momentum he's got. So
yeah, well,
I have a feeling he's not winning Survival of the Fittest, but we'll have to see next week.
Well, Will, he can't win Survival of the Fittest.
I mean, is this a spoiler?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want, I mean, okay. Well, we'll wait till, yeah, we got.
I watched it. I may have forgotten that he lost, though.
Matt Sydal.
Oh, Matt Sydal.
Great in-ring. I don't know why they had him on commentary, but we'll talk about that later.
Him being on commentary was better than his promo from the.
Yeah. I mean, that promo was bad. Wicked bad, as the kids like to say. It's kind of ironic because it looks like the apron bump is covering Survival of the Fittest 2004 this week. Very topical. Shout out to Kyle.
I told Joe to fire up his DVD player.
Yeah. A friend of ours just sent me. He's got a bunch of random Ring of Honor DVDs they found at his mom's house. So we may be having some coming our way. We should probably answer Brennan's question. And like I said, he's pretty spot on. I mean, I don't know.
So are we in agreement? Who's got the most to benefit from it is ACH?
Yeah. I think besides ACH, I think the person that would benefit the most would be Adam Page.
Adam Page would get a lot. Ciampa, I think, would because he hasn't had, like, a big win in a while. If you're trying to, like, kind of reestablish him. First of all, it's a problem because, you know, if he wins Survival of the Fittest, he's guaranteed a shot. So it's like you can't kind of avoid the shot. Like, this guy's a menace, but he won the shot.
Yeah. Do they get this shot at Glory by Honor?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, their timing in Classic.
Is it Glory by Honor or is it Final Battle? Because isn't. Did they announce?
Because the main event for Final Battle has already been announced, once again in classic Ring of Honor style.
Good old Ring of Honor.
So we'll jump into that later, but who, like R.D. Evans, you'd like to see win? Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger I love Cheeseburger. We love CB.
He's famous worldwide.
He is world famous. He was bestowed the palm strike by Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see AC or to see Cheeseburger in a multi-man match like that. Like, could he hang out on the side and like get away until the very end? Try to pull something out.
I mean, I could see him ducking, you know, coming and going, you know, for sure. Hi, Smokes. Your breakfast is in there, kiddo. Yeah. I don't know. Go eat your breakfast.
John Cena.
Did you say John Cena?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, my picture, Adam Page and Cheeseburger.
Have John Cena come in and win it after last week we were talking about the invasion angle going the other way. Yeah. Sending the team of Ring of Honor people to WWE. It's like, oh, they sent a team back. John Cena and a bunch of ex-Ring of Honor guys.
Yeah. That'd be fun. So, obviously, make sure you're following the Irish Misfit. If you are not already, all you got to do is click in the show notes and hit that fucking link in there that's provided by your boys here. So, but yeah, we've got a question. Speaking of links, we've got our social media specialist. SJ sent us a question, huh?
She did. I put out the call this morning. I said, hey, got a couple hours before Tom and I start recording. So if you have any burning questions, now is the time. And she had the time.
Time ticking in her head. That was like one of the first things I learned how to play on bass because it's pretty simple.
I was saying it's not the slowest song though, Tom. So I mean, I get that may not be the most complicated song, but it's still probably a workout.
You know, I probably did. Well, I mean, I probably didn't play it, you know, as fast as Frank Bello.
Dude's a menace. He's so good though. Anyway. It is music related, though. Which Ring of Honor wrestler do you guys think would be good at having their own band, and what genre would their band be?
Besides Jimmy Jacobs?
I think we're excluding Jimmy Jacobs, the guy who actually has recorded music.
Because, I mean, I could see, obviously, I could see Jimmy Jacobs in, like, a really cool, like, Sisters of Mercy cover band or something like that. Or filling in for like KMFDM. That'd be fun.
I like KMFDM. Seen KMFDM.
King Motherfucking Diamonds Monkeys. That's an old thing. That's not really what it means.
I would say I would have been convinced.
Yeah. No, that's an old thing. So it's something in German.
No shit.
Yeah, go figure. So besides Jimmy Jacobs. I mean,
Roddy Strong and Artie Evans in a boy band. Book it.
I mean, I was thinking, you know, obviously Roddy with his post-hardcore music, but I don't really see him being in a band.
Mark Briscoe's Bluegrass Bonanza.
That'd be fun.
It'd be Mark Briscoe basically with the fucking Otter Band from whatever the Jim Henson thing was.
God. Huh. I mean, yeah, I could definitely see Mark. I mean,
obviously Hanson and Rowe.
Yeah.
Look like they're already in a band.
Yeah, I mean, War Machine in a hardcore band would be fucking, I mean, it just,
I mean, you already have the name right there.
Yeah. I can just see fucking Hanson just rocking a huge fucking bass. And then Ro just fucking murdering people. Yeah. I think they just keep the name.
Ro just throws the microphone on the ground and starts crowd killing his own crowd.
Yeah. Book it. Yeah, I think we're gonna put fucking War Machine in a band called War Machine. Anyone else in Ring of Honor be in a band, do you think?
I mean, a lot of them, I'm sure, could
be. Michael Elgin on drums. And Roll playing guitar and being a three-piece.
Yeah, I wonder if Elgin will still be in cahoots with War Machine going forward. We'll see.
I hope so.
He makes his in-ring return next week on TV.
I missed that part. Well, it's better than, hopefully it's better than his promo.
Oh, man, what if it's not?
Now with ShipStation, we are shipping 500 duty boxes a month. It takes less than 5 minutes for me to get all of my labels and get beauty in the hands of women who are battling cancer so much quicker.
Go to ShipStation.com for a free 30-day trial.
I love crowds, if you can believe it.
Oh, you found me,
But wherever I go, it's always, where's Waldo?
Oh, what are you watching over there?
Who's Waldo? Sometimes it takes someone who really knows you to make you feel seen.
Gifts, that
say
I get you.
Etsy, hot touch. Oh my goodness, what is happening?
So, Jonathan,
I don't know.
Hey, guys. What are you guys doing?
I hope you don't edit this out. I hope this all stays.
Oh, it's staying in, but I don't know what the fuck. See,
pick more or less on at least two players into your lineup and lock in for the game. I could have told you. Download the Prize Picks app today. Players get $5 to get $50 instantly in site credits with code TEAM. Prize Picks, run your game.
Did you know there's a detergent that gets your dishes?
Oh my God, it's so going.
Older dishwasher? Switch to Cascade Platinum Plus. Designed with leading manufacturers, it delivers sparkling clean dishes in any machine. Just scrape, load, and you're done. Packed with double the Dawn, Cascade Platinum Plus removes up to 100% of grease and...
Okay, well, yeah. That was... I guess my Pluto just started playing Watch the Pet Cemetery and... Wow.
That was fun.
Okay, well, I'm glad that came through. So
just me. Oh, it all came through.
Whoosh. Wow. Okay, then.
Oh.
Where were we? Well, we were more the
we were just finishing saying that
who'd be a good drummer for War Machine?
If you could get along with it, I bet you Roddy Strong could lay down a simple, like, 4-4.
Yeah, and fuck it. I think we'll put Jimmy Jacobs as the guitar and Roll just sings. Yeah. There we go. We've been in a fucking band. War Machine. It just fits. Better than the Viking Experience, so. Awesome, and obviously shout out to
SJ. They're back to being the War Raiders, so.
Good.
I don't know if they're still like if they've really wrestled since they've come back, but they are back.
I mean, at least they're getting a paycheck, so that's good.
But that's what's up. You know who else is getting a paycheck? Cedric Alexander. I wish he was getting a paycheck somewhere else, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But shout out to SJ, obviously, our social media specialist and good friend and former guest of the show. But we've got one more question. Our man, as season two was wrapped up of the Road to Wembley and 18 million people and Big Daddy, the giant haystacks. But you know what is not wrapped up, Will? Hashtag Tank Facts. So if you're like Will and I say pretty much every fucking week, if you are not following and taking the territory, what the fuck are you doing in your life?
Hey, I was going to say, fuck Tank Abbott.
Oh.
He's going to lose to our buddy Steve, Dr. Redacted.
Well, that's not Tank Abbott.
Oh, I fucked up. There goes my bit.
That would have been fun, though. I
saw a tank, and I'm like, as in Tank Abbott? Like, because it's a big-looking dude, and he does look older.
Maybe. Maybe I'm stepping in it. Let me research here. I may owe Will an apology here. But you got Rob's question while I'm looking this up.
All right. With all the talk about work shoes, it's not Tank Abbott. It's just a guy that when I was scrolling through and I saw the flyer, I'm like, holy shit, Dr. Redacted Wrestling Tank Abbott. It's just another large man named Tank.
Okay.
So my bad. I had a bit. It was not obviously a well-researched one. I'm going to tuck my tail and run. but not before we pontificate proper footwear. Which member of the 2014 Ring of Honor roster would get free wrestling boots? Who has the smelliest feet? And who looks like they forgot their boots and had to wrestle in a pair that was two sizes too small right out of the box? So who would get free wrestling boots?
I mean, it's really hard to not say Michael Elgin.
I mean, he did those slick cowboy boots last time we saw him.
Yeah.
I want to say who gets free boots. I'm going to say you got to say Jay Briscoe, right? Because you figure when you're the champ, you got to get some perks.
Oh, nice! And
you got to assume that the sponsors want to get, you know, make sure their champion has comfortable footwear.
I like your thinking there, Will.
And then once Jay wears down his boots, they become Mark's boots.
Yeah. I mean, Mark needs boots.
Or he just got to go delirious style and not have them at all.
I mean, I don't like wearing socks or shoes sometimes, but I don't think I do it wrestling.
Same. I do have socks and shoes on right now because, like I said, I kind of woke up from the nap and it was like, whoa, the extremities are a little chilly.
Yeah. I mean, I do wear socks and shoes to my like full like walks. But
who's got the smelliest feet? It is probably Michael Elgin.
I mean, yeah, it's got to be Michael Elgin. 100%.
And who's wearing boots that are a little too small out of the box? I'm going to say Will Ferraro.
Okay.
He's just so excited to be there. And he had to quickly make his way out to the Survival of the Fittest qualifiers.
Yeah, because I mean,
he might not have had time to make sure they were the proper size. He probably just grabbed them and was like, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go again.
Nope. That one I did on purpose by accident. So I was trying to get my shit back together after.
You did on purpose by accident.
Well, yeah. Preparing to watch the Batman the next day or two.
Yes, finally.
I mean, the Penguin just wrapped up, so I got to watch that. So,
yes, I've got to watch the finale still, but I heard it was extremely good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think we're going Jay Elgin and Will Ferrara. Like you're thinking, Will. But
thinking.
As always, shout out to UTT Rob and everything that those guys are doing over there. Good shit. So, but Will, before we jump into TV and Survival of the Fittest here, make sure you're just following Visionaries Global Media. If you know, you know. Sorry. Fireworks bugging me. Okay, focus, Tom. You make sure you're on all the great shows of Visionaries Global Media. Got some extra content here from your boy, Tom, 85 Tom. Meant to have it last week, Matt. Sorry, but had a great review of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. No Midwestern Wrestling Roundup this week. And then Will, label mate, Mr. Freeds, our good friend Nick, former guest, and our good friend Mr. Steve had a great comic book symposium, hopefully the first of many. Yeah, make sure you're following all the great content and all the great shows at the Shining Wizards Network. And Will and I will see you on the other side of this break.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
And we are back. But Will, Ring of Honor TV episode 165. Air date.
165.
November 15th, 2014. The day before my dad's 84th birthday. And we in Lakeland, Florida.
Yes, we are.
I don't think I've ever been through Lakeland. I think that's near camp, I think. Not 100% sure. But we start off real quick. Let's get a quick promo. I do love this the fedora that Jay Lethal's rocking here. I am a fedora fan, personally. Him and Truth and Say Words, and obviously ACH is going down.
But yeah, they take digs, you know, that he is actually there. They've seen him there, so he did make it to the event this time.
Yeah, whoops. I mean, you know, shit happens, so.
Yeah. We got what, three matches tonight?
Two.
What was only two?
Well, yeah, but then we had a little bit too much of BJ Whitmer this week.
That's right. That's where my mistake was made, because we opened with a tag team contest.
Yeah, a six-man bout, actually.
That's right. Got Roddy, BJ Whitmer, and Adam Page.
Versus Caprice Coleman, Will Ferrara, and Tadarius Thomas. We got a little Oreo cookie action going on here. I kind of like that. Well, I mean, am I wrong?
Wow.
I mean.
We're canceled now.
I mean, if we haven't been canceled already, I mean, I'm kind of shocked. So
so it's the decade against Caprice Coleman. Caprice has kind of been railing against the decade, saying you're not treating these kids right. You're not bringing them up right. Tadarius has joined him. Will Ferrara has joined him. You know, Tadarius, we've put over plenty. Will Ferrara, you know, had a good showing with BJ. It was that Champions All-Stars? Yep. They had the match. So Ferrara's been getting shown on TV a bit more and more and more. And obviously, Adam Page is kind of like the prodigal son of the decade.
Yeah. You know, they had enough of Tadarius Thomas, so they're like, get to stepping. Yeah, and well, and obviously we have the benefit of foresight, but yeah, unfortunately Tadarius will be, it's not much longer for Ring of Honor, as we had discussed in previous episodes, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's doing well in the real life, but no Jimmy Jacobs here, by the way.
Nope, no JJ.
But yeah, but this, the match gets started, and real quick we get a commercial break for UTI, Will, if you want to start your new career, or if you want to cure fire pissing, I guess. So I thought UTI was maybe not the best abbreviation they should have had for their...
It's, I remember these ads. It's up there with the Southampton Institute of Technology, Tom.
Yeah. But...
I remember seeing ads for UTI all the time.
Yeah.
That is a primo, like, local cable TV ad.
Yeah. I miss Copper Fit. Hopefully we get some more Copper Fit.
Oh, you'll get that. You'll get your JG Wentworth.
Yeah.
And eventually we'll make all our way to Car Shield, Dome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And those Ric Flair commercials, so.
Woo!
But yeah, this match was a lot of fun. I really thought of anyone that kind of showed out really was Caprice, actually. I mean, everyone looked great in this match. You know, basically the story of the match is, you know, Roddy doesn't need a chair to win. He's not really liking the decades.
Roddy is he's not quite gelling at this point with the other members of the decade.
Yeah.
Roddy still very much wants to be the guy.
Yeah.
Not as interested in, like, the group, per se.
Yeah, I got my notes. Caprice really shined here with four other stud wrestlers and BJ Whitmer. So, yeah, but I mean, and we'll definitely get into it a little bit at Survival of the Fittest. But, Will, I am really kind of stoked for this Lone Wolf, Roddy Strong run.
Yeah, so I guess let's, you know, we'll jump to the end. The decade didn't lose, did they? They did.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, Caprice, after he hit his three Wiseman suplex, which is awesome, because he grabbed Roddy in the third one and then did a double pin. But
yeah, basically, you know, Paige and Roddy get into it, distracts him a little bit, and Caprice comes off the top rope with his little cutter thing. And Adam Page hits the lariat on Strong, and then Caprice.
Oh, that's right. Somebody ducked it, and there wasn't time to change.
Yeah, and Caprice gets the pin on Roddy, which, I mean, kind of gets buried in the lead here. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, Caprice just pinned a former world champ.
He did. It's a significant win for Caprice Coleman.
Yeah. And then afterwards, obviously, BJ wants to squish the beef between Roddy and Paige. Obviously, those two have been getting a little chippy, but Roddy ain't having it. He attacks Adam Page, and BJ tries to jump him, but Roddy fights out, and he's about to hit the backbreaker, and BJ pulls Page out of the ring, and it looks, Will, that appears that Roderick Strong is no longer part of the Decade.
Woo!
So I guess we shall see what's going on forward.
Right, the cracks in the Decade, I think, are past the patching point.
I can't say I'm sad about it. I mean, although Roddy had his greatest quote unquote success with the House of Truth, I mean, they made him a world champion, but solo Roddy is just.
Listen, Truth Martini makes champions. If you join the House of Truth, let's hear the Guardians of Truth. You're getting a title.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's got Jay Lethal right now. You know, Matt Taven was the longest reigning TV champion up to a point. So
yeah,
but then Will, we get an update on Raymond Rowe, and man, that accident did not look awesome.
No, his shoulder's all fucked up.
He's got a busted eye, bunch of other shit, and then Raymond Rowe comes out. We haven't obviously seen Rowe since the accident. They gave a date. I don't remember what the date was, but it's been a while, obviously. He's coming out to tell a story, but then this is where the episode kind of took a turn, Will.
Yep, so it's supposed to be kind of time for Roe to talk things through because we haven't seen him, and Hansen's been on a bit of a tear, but the Decade comes out. They were just there, but they came back out.
Yeah, and then BJ gets all in Raymond Rowe's face. He's like, "Oh, we get a pull up, son. Get a pull up, son." And Raymond Rowe, that motherfucker ain't backing up.
And they told him, it's like, "I bet you," he's like, "I could turn my back on you and know you're not going to do anything." Which is like, the dude's laid up with like a jacket. Obviously, he's not going to do anything. It's so like, you son of a bitch. But we learn that we got to match this for glory by honor, correct?
I think it's final battle.
It's for final battle. We got Roddy Strong and Adam Page.
Really kind of looking forward to that.
It would be, I guess, the final test for Adam Page.
Yeah. You know, and obviously BJ goes on a little rant and he says, yeah, making it official, Roddy was a cancer and he needed to be cut out, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, and then, I mean, I shouldn't say to Adam Page's chagrin, but kind of shock. Yeah, BJ's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're facing Roderick Strong in final battle. So, which is interesting because at this point, I mean, that's 2 months away. I mean, and now it's, well, TV time, it's all, well, not really. So, but we got three events before that, but we'll get into that. Because, Will, next we get a promo from Adam Cole. And we find out here, it's Adam Cole versus Jay Briscoe, the main event of Final Battle. So they're kind of skimming over Glory by Honor here, which I thought was one of their bigger pay-per-views.
Must not be this year.
Yeah, but after that, we get for the TV title, like I said, two men with a little bit of history. We get Jay Lethal versus ACH. And Matt Sydal on the call. Ugh. But like Will said earlier, Matt was not as bad on commentary as he was in that promo. So maybe I'll cut him some slack.
But if you remember, like I said, when Matt made his debut against AJ Styles, I said, you know, Truth Martini and Jay Lethal were kind of dapping him up a little bit, and they kind of came up, gave him a little what's up. So we'll see what happens here. Don't have a lot of notes. I mean, obviously this match is awesome. You got two studs here. You know, this is really peak Jay Lethal. He's really kind of coming into his own here.
This is kind of, yeah, primo Jay Lethal right now.
Yeah, this next 3-4 years of Jay Lethal is, and I know you're not the biggest fan. I try not to let, you know, separate the art and the artist.
Listen, a lot of people really like him. He just doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah. But at one point, ACH gets tossed out of the ring and then hits his neck.
He does. He hits like the side of the table or something. It looks like shit.
They didn't actually show that part unless I missed it, which is good. And then they're taking, you know, ACH out, and he's like, oh, la da da da, you know, lived to fight another day, all that good stuff. Jay Lethal gets a little cocky, and then ACH is like, no, son, I'm coming back. So ACH comes back to beat up Jay Lethal. Yeah, and then after that, it basically.
What did you think of the ending of the match? The kind of closing sequence. ACH took the kind of like the what the fuck is it called? Like kind of trips him and he goes face first into that second turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Comes up, he's a huge super kick. Kicks out of a lethal injection at one.
At one. Barely one, by the way. Like, it wasn't then, one. It was like, I don't even think Todd hit the mat.
And then Lethal puts him away with the, like, a package DDT.
Yeah. Really good match. Not quite a fuck of a match. But kind of a...
It's hard to beat their half-hour draw.
Yeah.
Or however long the 20-minute, whatever it is.
And I just don't get why you have ACH no-sell the lethal injection just to get a DDT 10 seconds later.
Is it just to kind of, like, show the adrenaline? And it's like, we need to do something different to, like, just put them away?
Maybe.
I mean... I'm also not a huge fan of the lethal injection as a move.
Especially as he announces it.
It's got a lot of setup time. So the cutter is good, but it's a lot of setup time. You got to turn your back to your opponent. You got to bounce off the ropes.
Tell your opponent you're doing it. And we'll get to it for Survival of the Fittest, Will, but much talk about there. Motherfuck.
You're right.
Yeah, I just spilled water all over my wife's notebook.
Uh-oh.
That's why you close the cap on your water bottle, dipshit. That was me talking to myself, by the way. So, but yeah, that backfires on Lethal later on in this episode. Not in this episode, but in this podcast episode. But in the end, Matt Sell comes in. You know, obviously, they're all kind of checking on ACH and everything. But he no-sells the handshake. And he wants TV.
Yeah, he does extend the hand. He does the psych.
Oh, yeah.
Yanks the hand away.
Gotta love that. And then next week, Will, speaking of Jay Lethal and Hanson, we get Hanson versus AJ Styles next week.
Certified banger.
Yeah. So real quick before we jump in, Survival of the Fittest, night one. Will, if this is your first episode of Ring of Honor TV, I would say super solid throughout, besides the second Whitmer promo. That just, I don't know, that just bothered me.
I think it bothered me more that, like you brought up, like we're getting told what matches are going to be at Final Battle, when we still have, they really haven't mentioned Survival of the Fittest on this taping. And they haven't really mentioned Glory by Honor, so it's like, so what's the deal?
Yeah. My absolute Batman number two came in.
Woohoo!
Super C, though, but that'll work.
What's that?
It's a variant cover number C. I'm more than happy with that.
Not a absolute Batman, but I started reading at the request of pretty much everybody I know, reading East of West, which is written by Hickman, but art by Nick Dragotta, who does the art for Absolute Batman.
Oh, no shit.
It's very fucking weird, but I'm loving it. I think this is definitely going to be one where I read this volume one, and then I probably try to find some kind of big collected version.
I like your style. But Will, we're in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio.
In a venue we've ran before, but a nice looking venue. For sure. The ceilings were a little too big for this, but we'll get into that. But basically, we got Kevin Kelly and Steve Carino and a very vocal crowd. These people were fucking pumped. That was cool to see. Ohio definitely is a Ring of Honor stronghold, and we'll kind of go. So we're going through six matches today that will finish out who's going to be survival fittest in Toledo. My dad almost moved to Toledo, but it's another story in itself.
Holy Toledo.
But yeah, we're just going to kind of, I don't want to say breeze through these, but Will, we get Ciampa versus Will Ferrara. And like Will had mentioned earlier in our question dishonor list, that Will Ferrara kind of got called in because Caprice had a family emergency. Looked great. I mean, obviously, I don't know why I don't like Will Ferrara. Maybe this run will make me change my mind.
Well, so far, he really hasn't done much, right? Because he was with the Benchmark guy. And that didn't really go anywhere.
Thank goodness.
And now they're just kind of... He's kind of been reintroduced. He's like, oh, here's this guy. He graduated from the Ring of Honor Dojo. Now he helps there. Like, so he's a new kind of like homegrown talent for them.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed it, Will, but Ferrara took that slingshot into the turnbuckle. Oof. Does it look like he caught all the metal on that? That was...
Kid's doing his job, making Ciampa look like a menace.
He did. And then I have my notes in here, because I actually watched this first. Strong's out of the decade, so that's probably... When you texted me, I was like, was Roddy Strong on TV? You're like, yes. I'm like, okay, so they did address this before.
Yeah, because I watched Survival of the Fittest first, too, and I noticed that. I'm like, oh. I mean, that's been the struggle for Ring of Honor for a while, right? Is like, the how does this all fit together? What order do you watch this shit in, right? Like, do you watch the TV because you have it's supposed to be leading up to these things? Or do you, like, you know what I mean? So, spoilered.
Yeah. I'm glad we both did that. But goddamn, that fucking knee that knocked out Will Ferrara was nasty, but Ciampa's going on. But hey, man, I mean,
that knee was mint.
Yeah. But yeah, and then at the end, Ciampa's gonna powerbomb Will after the bell. But he lifts him up for a code of honor. So Will Ferrara making friends here. But the aforementioned Roderick Strong, former members of the decade. And this is Kevin Kelly's pick. So Kevin Kelly's picking Roderick Strong for his question of dishonor. To win. Roddy at one point in the match did a cartwheel. Have you ever seen Roddy do a cartwheel before? Oh, he was fucking with TD. That's what it was. Now I'm catching on. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But honestly, like I said, I mean, we've seen Tadarius's promises, but his capoeira offense is a lot of fun here with Roddy, I thought. Tadarius Thomas does a flip outside straight onto the concrete. In the end, Tadarius ducks a kick. Roddy the Great, knee, elbow, backbreaker into a stronghold for the end. Great match and fired up. And then Roddy.
Yeah, the crowd was eating that up.
That was awesome. a code of honor. Yeah, and then Roddy kind of gave him a code of honor as he's kind of knocked out. But, yeah, great match. Like I said, don't put my lack of notes as discriminating against the match. It was another great match. And like we said earlier, I am looking forward to Lone Wolf, Roderick Strong. This is going to be, you know, and like I said, if you listen to Nattering with E, Freed's and Bauerhausen kind of going over, you know, PWG of this era and whatnot, Roddy's on fire over there. So, Will, we're going to be in for a fun ride here. But I do want to put out a quick comment here with the concrete. What the fuck was with the lack of mats? The mats are just around the ring, and then there's like another 6 feet of concrete towards the barricade.
Yes. That's not the first time they've had it set up like that.
What are we doing here? And people took there was a lot of bumps onto that fucking concrete.
Okay, Bowman, what the fuck are we doing?
Shout out to Matt Hill for your surgery went well.
Surgery did go well. He's at home recovering.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But I did, I got a chuckle as somebody who has colonoscopies, all that jazz. You know, it's like, oh, I know exactly what Matt, what he's feeling like right now.
Yeah.
And there is that panic where it's like you can't be too far away just in case, but because there's warning shots early.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that he did not do the wireless mic into the bathroom. That wouldn't have been good for anybody.
I would have, but sorry, I got to make sure I get my
car. Yeah, there hasn't been a ton of venues, but there has been some of these other venues where they have similar setups where it's like there's the mats, but it's like some of the mats don't go like all the way around, or like yeah. You're saying, there's space. Oh, that was what I thought. Ciampa was gonna wreck Will Ferrara with the barricade when he ripped.
Oh yeah,
when he ripped the Ring of Honor like logo plating off the barricade. I'm like, oh no,
no good.
So you're exposing the turnbuckle covers. I'm going to expose the barricade.
Yeah.
As we know, that barricade, it's very dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truth Martini's pistol probably has an ass scar from the barricade.
I mean, say what you will about Truth Martini. If he did not prove how fucking tough he was after that shot, oof. That was like 2 years ago too, wasn't it? That was a while ago.
Yeah.
But next, our next quote-unquote qualifying match, Cedric Alexander versus Adam Page with BJ Whitmer. I thought it was really kind of cool here to hear Carino and KK put over Page here, the future star. Obviously, we know that does come to fruition. But, man, these two, you know, I got my notes here. Two are a precursor to future PWG indie matches. We're definitely kind of see here that indie style that's going to kind of flourish here in the next between, like, 14 and 18.
Yeah,
the quote unquote indie style, which I was very fortunate to, you know, start watching wrestling in. Obviously, Whitmer pokes Carino in the call, but in the kind of, I don't want to say an upset, but in the end, Cedric comes off the top, but Page grabs him and it's a dead eye out of nowhere. Did you see Adam Page going on to Survival of the Fittest?
It makes sense, especially if we're looking kind of big picture. You know, depending on what order you watch this in, right? So if you watch TV first, they announce he's got this match with Roger Strong. Now Paige and Roger Strong are both in the Survival of the Fittest match. So yeah. you know it's going to get chippy. We're probably going to get a little preview of what that's going to be like. The Whitmer coming up to commentary and like kind of poking at Carino, I'm kind of over it.
I just want those two to fight. Let's get it over with. Because that'd be a fun match.
It feels like it's been going on for a while.
I just love how Carino just won't let up on Whitmer. I do love that part of it.
I love the consistency of character. He has hated BJ Whitmer from day one and has not wavered no matter what.
That makes me very happy. Oh shit. So now I kind of remember. Well, next we got Delirious versus Adam Cole.
Blah, 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 blah.
Shout out to Eddie Henderson, who was very delirious like. And listen, actually, I put in my notes here. Can we just talk about Ring of Honor not having enough match? What the fuck? Carino, as always, once again, like Will just said, consistent character, very stoked to see Adam Cole. I kind of liked the camera having a tough time staying on Delirious. That was kind of a nice effect. Surprising from Ring of Honor. Usually they're TV. They do have some spot on TV stuff once in a while, and this is one of them.
Yeah, they're you don't usually miss stuff from them cutting away to other things.
Yeah. You know, and listen, obviously we get to you know, and this, and after that happens, these two do the wrestles. I mean, you forget. I mean, Delirious is a character for sure, but he can fucking go. And Adam Cole can go too.
Delirious is a great wrestler. That's why he's the trainer, right? He's trainer, booker.
Yeah. Obviously, Delirious sticks his feet in Cole's face. You know, I'm not trying to kink shame or anything, Will, but
that's just. You want to talk about some smelly feet? Delirious probably got.
Yeah. Some,
do you think they smell better or worse because they're not in the boots, right? They're just kind of free to breathe.
Depends on how much he takes care of them. And I'm assuming it takes pretty good care of his feet because it's obviously a big part of his gimmick.
I mean, those, the wraps on his feet probably smell horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
Soggy bandage feet.
Yeah. I did love Delirious is knocked out of the ring. He did suplex the timekeeper. And then he was about to suplex Scarlett and they interfered. Big shout out to the original Sheik. I'm reading currently Blood and Fire by Brian Solomon. Also former guest of the Shining Wizards Network, a book I found out by them. It's a pretty solid book. Sheik's someone I didn't actually know much about, Will. So
I know nothing about the original Sheik either.
Yeah, late 60s, early 70s, but definitely a precursor to Bruiser Brody. Of course, he had a run in his 50s, but Delirious kicks out of one. Calista kicks out of two Shining Wizards, and then Adam Cole gets the super kick on him. I always love how when Delirious gets super kicked or something like that, he folds in half like that.
Yeah, it kills my knees to watch him do it, but yeah, it looks great.
But this time he kicked out. I don't think I've ever seen him get kicked out after he's been folded up like that before. But then Cole pushes Delirious outside, hurts his foot. You know, and Adam Cole, you know, being the smartest guy in the game, puts him in a figure four on the outside. And Delirious gets counted out. Long match.
But I love this ending because it's brought up all the time, right? And that's the trope, right? Oh, they don't want to win by count out. Oh, they want to win by pinfall. It's like, it's a qualifying match. If you can win by count out,
you're not going to lose a title, but you know, so.
You know what I mean? It's like you still get the win.
Yeah.
And I know it makes it, you know, it's even bigger, right? Because Ring of Honor's got the 20 count. So, I mean, I was a little surprised he didn't get back in the ring. I'm like, oh, they went with the count out. I like it.
So.
And Adam Cole sitting in the ring, beaming ear to ear. You know, tapping on his forehead like he's the big brain energy.
Yeah. Real quick here, I do want to mention some production notes from Will and I. We did put a new intro in. Josh, I will get that fixed. It won't be fixed on this episode, but I did take your comments into consideration. Thank you for that. But let's let you know, I just want to shout out Dork Side of the Ring, my friends Matt and Adam, former guests of a previous show for the outro. I stole that idea directly from them. So let us know what you think of those. Totally random thought here. I just want to do it before.
There's an outro. I'm going to have to actually listen to our episode now.
Yeah, there's an outro, Will. So
I'm a bad co-host. I don't listen to the episodes. I hate hearing myself back on tape.
I don't listen either. So
Tom and I went through this once already.
Yeah, I mean,
especially like, those early episodes. I didn't want to talk about them to start with.
Yeah, I think they only exist on SoundCloud. I think I've got the original copies, but thank goodness. Oof, yeah, because they come off the Spotify and iTunes feed, so that's good. But you got to start somewhere, Will. Lethal. Me. Hansen. Another qualifying match. Jay Lethal coming out with two ladies I did not recognize. I don't know if you recognize them at all.
I don't think they were there for anything other just to be a little, you know, we're talking about Monday Night Raw, a little HLA, Tom.
Yeah.
And that Columbus crowd was eating it up.
That's funny. I actually have, yeah, we go all attitude error as, yeah, these two get pretty happy. I hope, and then they get escorted, you know, and then Truth and Lethal, you know, drop them off over the barricade. I hope they got an escort through the crowd. Because they just dropped him into the crowd with a bunch of...
Yeah, they probably didn't.
So, hopefully did not leave them to fend for themselves, we'll just say.
But Tom, this Hanson World Tour continues. I mean, obviously, I'm a big Hanson guy. He's from my neck of the woods. He kind of fits my vibe.
Yep.
Big dude, tiny voice, you know?
Yeah. That's why he's the bass player in War Machine.
Have you come around on the theme?
Getting there. Well, I mean, after this, a little bit more, and we'll discuss that here in a couple seconds. But Hanson offers his hand, Lethal chops him, and Hanson just no sells the shit out of those chops. Well, he should. And obviously, these two show why they're two of the best going today. We get a blow to the ding ding. Another great match. And like I said, you know, like I've said previously, do not.
Yeah, low blow. They claim the ref didn't see it.
But yeah, and listen, don't take my lack of notes for not enjoying the match. I love this match. But Will, like we discussed earlier, in the end, Jay Lethal goes for the lethal injection. Hanson ducks it, flicks Lethal over his back, and then gives him a spin kick of doom from hell. And Hanson is going to Toledo. Honestly, Will.
Jay Lethal. Losing again.
And Survival of the Fittest. He's a former Survival of the Fittest champion. Definitely shows.
I feel like Jay Lethal losing would mean more if there was potentially something coming out of it. We just saw ACH beat him like two or three times. And then he loses in the title match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're all like, you know, commentator putting over, it's like, oh, you know, the implication is you know, Hanson just pinned the TV champion. I like to think there's something going there, but it's probably not. Especially since that TV title is being put on the line against R.D. Evans.
I think that's a glory by honor.
That is a glory by honor.
At least we got that. But I just, and like I said, this is kind of the antithesis of some of the other matches. Great match with a fantastic finish. Lethal Hanson just nailed that ending fucking perfectly. I mean, it just makes sense. Like I said, why would you announce something? Everyone knows you're going to do it. It was great. I loved it. But then speaking of R.D. Evans, we get R.D. Evans on the mic with Moose and Veda. R.D. Evans gets Jay Lethal a glory by honor, but, honestly, you know, R.D. kind of breaks character a little bit. He's kind of contrite. You know, he's like, I'm maybe 171-0, but I owe a lot to this, too. And, you know, he's like, everyone laughed at me, but now look at me and everything. So,
I mean, we did, too. Like, when the R.D. Evans character started coming out and, like, the pink getup, we're like, what the fuck is this?
We were presidents of the anti-fuck-you R.D. Evans, you know. And
yeah, not a fan at all to start with. It's like, this is, you know, because you look at him, it's like, this is a joke. Like,
yeah.
But he's turned on us.
Yeah, 1,000%. And in a shout out to former guest, my good friend, Mr. Trent Sabiri, over at AAW, cheap AAW plug. But he said early on, you know, he says, don't sleep on R.D. Evans, man. The guy can actually really go. And he was 1,000% right. I should probably text him and tell him that.
I've got to try to find the match that I sent you guys the clip from a while ago where it was R.D. Evans and Orange Cassidy. And the bit with, like, all the sunglasses.
That's awesome. But yeah, he's got his support, and you know, and R.D. Evans he's got his own group. He's called the Streak Freaks. Love it, fucking love it.
Will, gotta get your Streak Freak T-shirts now at ROHWrestling.com.
And then Jacob's coming out. He has serious business, and he has words, and it costs R.D. Evans. He says, "You're a fucking joke." Blah blah blah. Basically, just kind of solidifying everything that R.D. Evans says.
Yeah, he says, like, you know, Moose, like, you got potential. Okay, he calls Moose kid, even though Moose is, yeah, like, a like not a young person by comparatively.
No. They called him washed up and a bunch of other stuff, but it gets physical. Obviously, Adam Page comes out. Then the Addiction comes out.
Yeah, because that is the match, right? Isn't it? It's supposed to be the Addiction in the Decade.
Yep. And Jacobs and Whitmer. And I am so glad we've got the Addiction back. They're great in the ring. They're great characters. And Kazarian is just a fucking hoot on the fucking mark. Or on the mic. Says a bunch of words and everything, but basically he's like, I understand why you call yourselves a decade, because it takes you so long to say everything. I was like, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was fucking money. I should probably put this clip in the episode, but I don't think I will. Yeah, because it takes so long to get to the point. But yeah, and then we go right into Jacobs Whitmer versus the Addiction. This is another great tag match. Well, I put Big Interference, but Adam Page gets fierce but gets speared by Moose. Jimmy Jacobs eats a double neck backbreaker thingy in the Addiction. The Addiction lose. The Addiction wins. Beat the Decade. Listen, yeah, great match. Lots of fun tag team action. I mean, Whitmer and Jacobs, say what you will. They do have great chemistry. The Addiction's just top notch. I'm glad they're in my lives. Whitmer gets chippy with Carino again.
Hopefully, yeah, the downward spiral of the Decade continues.
I'm hoping we get Carino. I mean, I think there's a slight chance we get Carino Whitmer final battle, hopefully.
I remember something that pertains to this. I just don't know when time-wise it fits in.
I really hope it doesn't mean to see Carino's joining the Decade.
Just you wait.
Dick. I put our last qualifying ACH versus Matt Sydal. But once again, this match is the epitome of mid-2010s indie wrestling. I mean that in a good way. I don't like Matt Sydal, but he can fucking go, Will.
Yeah.
That is a fact. I love how ACH had a triple spin kick, but nailed Sydal in the third one. I like Maxell was getting up on the top rope, and ACH just kind of came out of nowhere with a sweet bicycle kick. And then basically Sydal in the end hits a stupid shooting star press to Sydal, or a stupid Sydal shooting star. And I don't want to say this is kind of an upset, Will, but this is kind of an upset.
Kind of a shock thing, right? So you're just saying, like, a survival of the fittest one would have been, like, the icing on the cake for ACH lately. But got to hope they have other plans for him. I think ACH does have a match with Jay Lethal coming up, so.
Yeah, or maybe he gets Jay Briscoe quarterback.
Or Jay Briscoe, I meant, yeah.
But, yeah, we got Ciampa, Roddy, Page, Cole, Hansen, and Sydal. Honestly, if you would have showed me this card when we started, I think I only would have got 3 out of 6. I wouldn't have picked Page, I wouldn't have picked Hansen, and I wouldn't have picked Sydal. So it's kind of nice.
Those three definitely are the surprises. Like I said, ACH, you would have assumed is the shoe-in. Hansen and Lethal could have gone either way. Because you still probably could have made Hansen look good in losing.
Yeah.
And then having your champ not lose. That's the other thing, too, is they've been harping on how the TV title is, like, the real title in Ring of Honor. Like, the world title is, like, the second-bit title. So, yeah. Lethal lost again. Page makes sense. Like, Cedric, I feel like it sucks that his rise was kind of cut so short.
Yeah.
But he's kind of the transition guy now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen Cedric as high as he's going to go in Ring of Honor. That is no slight on him whatsoever. But future's bright. He's still only 36 years old, and he's still got plenty of time left. So we'll see. But our main event, Will. Now, actually, real quick, I don't like where they put ACH and Sydal.
You don't like him as the deadliner?
Yeah, it kind of takes the wind because it was such a great fucking match. Kind of takes
the win. They're the piss break match.
Yeah, but it was great. And listen, I mean, and then the main event, you're like, I mean, don't take me wrong, the main event was great. But speaking of which, it's Kingdom versus Taven and Bennett, or Kingdom, which consists of Taven and Bennett, versus the Briscoes. And Will, this match did not start slow.
No.
No. I mean, the Kingdom comes out, and the Briscoes just take the fight right to them, as to be expected. I'm going to state the obvious here. Obviously, if you've listened to any episode of Ring of Honor Rivalry, we think Mark Briscoe is a national treasure. And I think out of these four guys, I really think Mark shined in this fucking match.
Shines in every match.
He does. I mean, I like the spot where he sat Taven down in the chair and then he came off the apron with the neck breaker. What else did he do? He hit the senton off a chair. Jay Briscoe slides the ramp down or something. I don't know what the fuck that was all about. But all of a sudden, the ramp is in the middle of the entrance. That was fun. Jay DVDs bended onto the ramp. But in the end, the Briscoe set up the chairs, get lined up. But they get Jay tied up in the ropes. I kind of like Maria jumping on there doing like the spiderweb thing, kind of keeping Jay locked up. But then a spike pile driver onto the chairs onto Mark. Obviously, this was a no rules.
I was say this was a no DQ match.
Couldn't tell. And then Adam Cole comes out to more of a beatdown. Fun match. I mean, a lot of fun spots. I mean, not to like denigrate or anything, but it's what you would have expected out of these four.
Yeah, it's really like I said last week. Like, this is not a situation like it was with World's Greatest Tag Team. Like, there's been enough differences, I think, in the matches. And I think it's just the match quality is a lot better.
Yeah.
Like, the Briscoes can afford to take an L here. It's not like the Briscoes look bad by losing a no disqualification.
Yeah, I mean,
tag team match where they have the numbers disadvantage.
Yeah, I mean, you got Maria. I mean, the fuzzy belt made an appearance. The whole kit caboodle. So yeah, it just for this story, and obviously, I mean, the bigger story here is Jay Briscoe and Adam Cole. So we'll see what Mark's got for final battle. So hopefully, he gets like Taven or somebody or Bennett or something like that. So. Yeah, but I mean, I know we say it all the time. He does it all the time. But yeah, Mark Briscoe really shined in this match, I thought.
100%.
So, well, high fivers, that is Survival of the Fittest Night 1. Stay tuned for next week for Survival of the Fittest from Toledo, Ohio.
Night 2.
You know, at least those are in chronological. Actually, no, they're not in chronological order on Honor Club. Damn you, Tony Khan. But, Will, before I pull a train at the station here and I probably go back to making some money, got any final thoughts? Final thoughts on Survival of the Fittest? I enjoyed it overall.
It was all right. I don't feel like it really kept my attention the whole time. It's hard to write because it's all qualifiers. So it's not like we're getting like, ooh, who's it's the match. It's like, all right. So like, we're going to see who's going to be in the match.
Yeah.
Well, Survival of the Fittest was fine. It cracks me up that events like these, when they put out the DVD, they do two different DVDs. It's like, you thieving bastards, you couldn't just put them both on the one DVD.
Yep.
But the biggest thing I feel like I need to say at this point is, as this is the day we record, it is the wife's birthday. So happy birthday, Brittany.
Yeah, you guys have a good dinner tonight?
Well, I hope it turns out good. I mean, if it's not, it's on me, right? So
no pressure, Will.
No pressure.
Yeah, and good luck with everything. Even at that, for those that don't.
Yes, you
know, yes. Send my, you know, well, you know what I'm saying. But yeah, I mean, thanks to everybody. Thanks to my better half. Thanks to my cats. Thanks to your cats. Everybody on Visionaries Global Media. Everybody on Shining Wizards Network. Everybody on the Ring of Honor roster.
And I'd say a thanks again. We're still working. Tom, I shouldn't say we, because I don't do shit. Tom's still working on getting our bonus episode done. So thanks again to, on the main channel, thanks to Dr. Redacted and to Nick, none of my friends like comics, for hanging out. There was a whole other hour that wasn't even recorded.
Next time I just might hit the, I just might pull Kyle and just hit the record button randomly.
Should have just recorded the whole thing. And then if there was stuff like that for kayfabe purposes needed to be cut out, we could have just like
cut it out,
chopped around that.
Yeah, that should be coming out
less. You still would have had so much content.
Yeah. I just need to get everyone's local comic book shop links and everything. I mean, the episode's good to go. I just got to get them in the show notes. And yeah, that's on me. So,
Tom, you're a busy man. You have so many podcasts. No, you have a job. You have two jobs. Got to watch the cats.
You got to watch the, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, they make it pretty easy. So, yeah, they're smoking to the Zoomies just before you came on. So, that was pretty funny. So it's good when she's feeling better. But yeah, shout out to our better halves. I'll see you next week, my friend.
See you next week.
This is the beginning of the end right here. Oh, no. Jay Triller.
Reach for the sky, boy.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media. Envisioning excellence on a global scale.
We miss you, Jay.